Y'all have to excuse me for a minute. It's going to be rough. So Baal comes to the altar. And I didn't know what she came up to pray for. And I seen Chloe come down. And I was back there praying. Lord, I'm just thankful for my daughters who come to the altar to pray and bring their burdens down. But then Chloe comes back and gets me. And says, Baal's not sure if she's saved or not. You know, I challenge my girls to make sure of their salvation. You know, when they take it, when a young person, see, Belle come down. Belle said she got saved at Good News Club in first grade. So, you know, I've challenged her during the years. Are you sure? Are you sure? She said this past week, she's been unsure. And I said, you know, the devil will try to mess with your mind and make you feel like you're not saved. I said, that is. The devil would do that. But I said, here's the question, Belle. I can't answer this, and you have to answer it. Did you truly give your life to God? Did you accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you sure? And we can look at the Bible, and if you've truly given, if you've got that relationship, you are saved. And she said, no, Daddy, I didn't. So at that moment, my mind said, my daughter's not saved. As many times as she's sung, as many times as she's testified, in her mind she said words, but she didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Y'all know how hard it would have to be for a preacher's kid to step out and come down the aisle and say they wasn't sure of their salvation? I want to challenge you. If you said some words that didn't have meanings before, and you don't have that personal relationship, this altar is the place you need to be. But if you've got that personal relationship and you know, and old Satan tries to come and confuse you, you tell him to go back where he came from, because this Bible tells you you're saved. Amen? Now, I'll go home to preach here in just a little bit about salvation. It ain't about a feeling. It ain't about circumstance. It's about knowing what the Word of God says and knowing what you've done in your life. If you give your life to Christ and you ask Him to come and be Lord of your life and thank Him for dying on the cross for your sins and for mine, then and you have a relationship with Him and you feel the Holy Spirit, you are saved. And we can look in this Bible and prove it. But what I'm saying is, if you just said, hey, when I was young, I said some words. I went down to the altar. I got baptized. But my life didn't change. I didn't do away with the old. You know, I was young, so I didn't do bad things. But if you didn't become a new person, if your mindset didn't change, if your life didn't change, if your friend group didn't change, then I'm here to tell you, you might need to look at your life and make sure of your salvation. I ain't even got to preaching yet. Just so y'all know, the 8:30 service, I lost 2 pages of my notes, and it was an hour and a half long. I found those 2 pages. We may be here to 1. Amen? If you got to go, you got to go. No, just kidding. I'll try to keep it down. But listen. Oh, my gosh. Thank God for the air conditioner, because it's hot up in here. Listen. God has laid on my heart all week about joy and about just being joyful in God. Not in our feelings, not in the circumstance of this world. Because how many of you know we need some joy in this world? Amen. We need some more God, joy in God, in Christ. And us as Christians need to share it and let it spill out to the world. Because Lord knows there's some negative things going on in this world. And what we've got to do is we've got to come down. And here, I'm going to go ahead and get in the Word. I'm going to read from Philippians 2 this morning. So while you open in Philippians 2, Paul wrote this right here, this letter to the church at Philippi. And he wrote it when he was in prison. See, and you know, old Paul, he gave 100% of his life to Christ. He gave 100% of his life to Christ. Just as I challenged Baal right here, I said, Baal, you've got to give Him 100%. That's what we've got to do when we accept salvation. We got to give him everything. And that's exactly what Paul did. Paul was in prison, and he was writing to this church. And since the day he got saved, you know, Paul was a bad man. He was killing Christians. He was putting them in jail. But when he received Jesus Christ, he threw away all the old, and he went with the new, and he is a new creature in Christ. And that's where he found his joy. So if you had 2 Philippians, please stand with me and the reading, for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. We're going to start in verse number 12. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy, rejoice with all of you. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I beg you, Lord, hide me behind the cross, and Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Dear God, I just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds. Lord, take all the distractions away, Lord. Lord, that we may know, Lord, your presence and know exactly what you would have us to do today. Dear God, I pray you'll empty me of self and fill me with your Spirit. Lord, it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. You know those feelings that sometimes we hang our salvation on, the circumstances in our life, we'll hang our salvation on that, but it shouldn't be on any circumstance or feelings. It should be on that relationship with Jesus Christ. So I can't stress that enough, and I want you to wrap your mind around that, and I want you to think on that for a little bit. But Paul, in chapter 1, and this is what I missed out on the first sermon, he talked about having joy, being a single mind in chapter 1, and that's the gospel. Y'all know the gospel is the good news, and that's something that Bell come up here and said, "You know, Daddy, I said those words in the good news club." All that is that's the way that we could get the gospel in the schools and for the churches to come, is to call it the good news club. Well, you could change the good news to gospel. It's the gospel club. They're preaching the gospel to those kids after school, for those of them that can stay. So she said those words, but we've got to be single-minded. Single-minded meaning we've got to only have the gospel on our minds. How many of you would raise your hand and say, "I've had a million things on my mind this week"? Amen. Raise your hand. Anybody? Yeah. The rest of y'all, we'll talk to y'all later. I don't know how you keep your mind single-minded, but we need to be single-minded. Paul said to have joy and to have it based on a single mind, and that's the gospel. We got to stick with the gospel, not veer away from it. And listen, I wanted that single-minded gospel, but also it talks about being submissive. Being submissive. Look in verse number 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which also be in Christ." We've got to submit the way Christ submitted. Do y'all know, how many of y'all women, don't raise your hands on this. You know, when you hear that word submissive, some of y'all women just turning the channel. I ain't listening no more, right? But you know why that is? That's because the world has changed that into something that it shouldn't be. See, the Bible tells us that us men should give ourselves to our wives the way Christ give himself to the church. That means he give everything he had, every ounce of blood, every ounce of energy, everything he had, he give to the church. And then it says, "Women, submit to your husband." But listen, the world takes it and turns it a totally different way. You need to take this book and you need to write it on your heart, because the way Jesus Christ submitted, he gave everything he had. He died on the cross for our sins, and he said, "Hey, here I am, Lord. I'm going to be submissive." But also he was obedient and doing exactly what God called him to do. God called him and said, "I need somebody to go pay that sin debt for everyone on the earth, because the wages of sin is death." And Jesus Christ left his throne on high and said, "I'll be that man." He had it made in the shade, drinking lemonade. Amen? He was up in heaven just chilling out. And God said, "Hey, I need somebody. Jesus said, I'll do it. Daddy, I'll do it. So he left his throne on high, came to this earth to be spit on, beat, cussed at. I don't know about y'all, how many of y'all sometimes have been kicked and stepped on and put down and put aside? I'm just talking about what Christy done to me last week. But we all have at some point in time, right? What did you do? How did you react? Because Paul said to have the joy, we need to be submissive like Christ. Be obedient like Christ. Man. I don't know what you've done through this week and how you struggled, you know, and who's put you down, who's talked about you. But I'm telling you, there's joy in the Lord. Can I get an amen from somebody? See, you can have joy. Listen to why we can have joy. Because you ain't got to go to hell. Baal, you got new joy because you just received salvation. That sounds good. See, I thought my daughters, all of them, was going to heaven when I entered the building. Now I know. Well, at least I hope I know. The other two, y'all good? If you ain't, get on ahead. We'll stop right what we're doing right now and pray amen. If any of y'all in here, listen to me. If anybody in here don't know, if you say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven, I think I'm going to heaven, I'm 99% sure I'm going to heaven, we'll stop what we're doing right now and we'll get down here and pray and you can be 100% sure. By this Bible, it says you can be 100% sure. There ain't no sense in thinking it there. You got to know it. I don't want to hope I'm going to. I want to know where you spend eternity, because this is just a blink of an eye. This is a vapor. This life is a vapor, y'all. We need to hold on to that. Hold on, because listen, you can have joy because you ain't got to go to hell. You can have joy because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Say amen if you appreciate that. Hey, you can have joy because the promises that this book says, and that it's true, and because God loves you, He calls you by name. We can have joy because Jesus died on the cross for you and me. We can have joy because He's coming back, and He's coming to get us, and we're going to be gone. You can have joy because you're saved. I get a little excited about that. Can you tell? But we got a free gift that Jesus Christ gave us. And this is, I'm going to be honest, this is what brought me here. Before I go on, I want to say, he says you was obedient. You got to be obedient. I said that a while ago, but listen, there's some young people in here. Do you act different when your mom and daddy's around, or friends of your mom and daddy's around, or when the preacher's around, or when church people's around? Because Paul says in verse number 12, you was doing pretty good in my presence and even in my absence. So see, that tells us we've got to be good. See, if you act different when you're around the boys than when your wife's around, or your husband, or vice versa, you better check up. You should be the same here today around anybody else in here if you want that joy of Jesus Christ. You should. It says, Paul says, you've been doing good in my presence and you did good when I was gone. What radio station do you stop at if somebody's different in the truck with you? Where do you look at on your phone if you knew your mom and daddy was over your shoulder? Do you stop on them TikToks? Does your spouse have your password, or is it just your face or your thumb? You better give it to them. They might need to check up on you. You might say, well, it's my business. Their business is your business. Your business is their business. It's God's business, amen? You better get down to business with God and quit hiding stuff from everybody else, because He already knows. He knows. Somebody said a while ago that their toes was being stepped on. My face got red when I was writing this sermon because of what we're fixing to get to. This whole thing right here, look at verse number 12, the last part. Work out your own salvation. Another show of hands. I'm going to get y'all active in here today. Who in here knows there's nothing you can do? Nothing you can do to pay for your salvation. If you know that, raise your hand. Amen. For those of y'all who didn't raise your hand, I want to see y'all after church. Or
He ain't making me raise my hand. I ain't raising my hand. He might call on me to do something. Seriously. We can't earn our salvation. But we can work out our own salvation. Now I hope and pray when you leave here, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about right here. Because this is what really wrapped my mind around it. We don't work for it. Jesus already worked for it. We got to work it out. And the workout here is kater gazomai. That's the Hebrew word. I couldn't say that in the other one because I couldn't remember what it is. This is a part of the notes I didn't have. It's kater gazomai. And there's three definitions to that word. The first is to work out like a math problem until you get to the end. The second is to work like you're farming the land. That's what that word means. And the last one is the one I'm going to use today, is to work like you're working in a mine, M-A-N-E, a gold mine, per se. So we want to talk about working out like you're working in a gold mine. So just say, y'all bear with me right here for a little bit. Think about this, okay? This stage is a plot of land that has been deeded to me by somebody. They give me the land. That's good, right? When somebody gives you something, that's good. I accept the land. This is my land. And there's gold here. So what miners do? They take a shovel and they take a Lowe's bucket. Amen? And what we're going to do? I'm going to go as far as my land is this way, and I'm going to dig and see if I can find gold. And this is the edge of the gold right here. There ain't no gold on this side, but I got gold on this side. That's good. So I'm going to go over here as far as I can on this side. I'm going to dig down. Yep, there's gold here and not there. So that's the edge of that. I'm going to do it that way, and I'm going to do it that way. And I'm going to stake out where the gold is. And then I'm going to sit down and not do nothing, right? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Are y'all with me? Say amen. Y'all looking at me like deer in the headlights right now. If there was gold under this stage, which I think there is, because some of this equipment that we got under here cost as much as gold. But if there was gold under this stage, how many of you would come help me dig this gold up? Amen. Let me tell you, that's just like our Christian life. We get saved. We get deeded salvation. It's ours as a free gift. When you accept it, you get it. Now what you going to do with it? Guess what we got to do? We got to get to digging. So I'm going to dig this spot up. There's gold and dirt in this shovel. What do I got to do? I got to put it under running water, right? I got to get it under running water. I'm going to separate the dirt. I'm going to throw the dirt out. I'm going to put the gold in the bucket. Separate it out, put the gold in the bucket, right? Because you don't want dirt and gold because that's less value, right? You want the gold in the bucket. You know what we got to do in our life? Y'all listening? We got to work out our own salvation. You got to get your shovel and shovel this old world up and let the running water of the Word pour over the shovel. And when there's gold left in there, you got to put it in your bucket. Don't mix it up. Too many times we want to just stay half in the world and half in the blessings of God, and we wonder why we ain't got joy. That's because you got all the dirt in the bucket with the gold. We got to get the gold. We got to let the running water of the Word take the dirt out away from the gold so it can be pure and clear, and we're going to stick it in the bucket. Some of y'all need to take your lives today and run it over the water of the Word, because some of you may have a little dirt in your life, may have a little dirt in your joy. Amen? If you ain't joyful this morning, maybe you need to look and see why. What's the deal? Because sometimes, God just give this to me. I love it. Listen, I don't really like two sermons, I'm going to be honest with you. But when I get to preach the same message twice, God gives me something else. Any of y'all ever had that green ring around your neck because you got fake gold on? Or around your wrist? Ain't none of y'all going to raise your hands because you don't want nobody to know. Huh? Or guys, you ever bought your wife a ring and it's real, baby. Slide it on there. The next 2 days, it's green around her. Because it's fake. How you tell the real from the fake? It may look real. It may sound real. Well, that's the same way with anybody preaching, anybody telling you of anything that the Bible says. You take it and you put it under the running water of the Word to see if it's real or fake. See, they can take them little eyepieces out and they can see if a diamond's real or if gold's real. You might stick it on your teeth. You might scratch it on something. No, but I tell you what you need to do. Anything that somebody preaches or says or sings, says that's in the Bible, you need to take it and you need to grab this book and read it and see what it says for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, because this is the living water of God. Amen. Oh, it's hot in here. But we need to take the dirt away. Get it out, right? Keep it in check. Hey. I want to share something with you that I shared with an earlier group. We know where the gold is because we marked it off, but a lot of times you got to probe in the ground to see if what's underneath there, if it's rock, or we find ditch lines that way to see if water line's there. But there's a new guy on the tractor, and he dug up 5 water lines in one job the other day. And then we went to another job, and he dug up a phone line and broke it. Well, then the next job we put him and said, "Oh, you ain't digging here no more. You got to get the shovel out, and you got to get the post hole diggers out because you done tore too much up on the tractor." Well, he starts with his post hole diggers, and then he starts talking. He's a little guy. He talks a lot. "I tell you what, this ground's hard. It's this. About that time, poof, he hit the phone line. Cut it anyway. We'd been better off set the tractor up and just dig straight across it. But you know what? He got his mind off what he was doing. He started doing this instead of looking and seeing what he was doing. That's what the Bible goes on to say. These murmurings it's talking about and these disputings. Sometimes we jump ahead and we start talking about what we don't want to do, what we don't want to set in church, amen, what we can't do, what we do, and we let that get in the way of why we're even here. How many of y'all like where you're sitting right now? Raise your hand. Just a few of you. How many of you don't like where you're sitting? Raise your hand. Be honest with me. Hey, it's a few of you. Hey, y'all being honest. Hey, we honest in God's house. Amen. I done had some. Don't about 2 or 3 people know this. Somebody come today. "Let me tell you something about where I'm sitting. I want my seat back. I don't like where I'm sitting. This. I said, just wait on this message. Because we let them murmurings get in our head, and that affects us. That affects the people around us, people you talking to, and that affects their walk in Christ. Amen. It affects the way you looking at the service right here. I guarantee you, if you're thinking about where you're sitting instead of thinking about the Word of God, you're missing out on a blessing. You putting dirt in your bucket. Don't nothing but gold go in this bucket. This is blessing that goes in this bucket. This is your salvation bucket that we're working out. And we letting all the things of the world get in our bucket. Steal our joy. That's good stuff, even if I am preaching. Listen, we've got to grab a shovel, because a lot of us, we get saved and we get our bucket, but we don't work out our salvation. You ain't got to work for it while the work's done for you. But you're not working out your own salvation. You're missing half the joy. Yeah, you got the land. Yeah, you got the gold. Yeah, it's yours, but you ain't getting nothing out of it because you ain't digging it up. You ain't separating it. I think so many times we miss out on that blessing. Man. I want to ask you. If you inherit a gold mine and you ain't enjoying the gold, you might be, it's like getting a gift. And I used this in the last sermon. I liked it. Anybody know what white elephant is? Y'all know what white elephant is? Where you buy a $10, $20 gift, whatever. You put it in the middle, wrapped up, and one of you pick one, you unwrap it. And then the next person, they can either steal yours or or get an unwrapped gift. We do that at Christmas time sometimes. So, at Chrissy's family one time, her uncle, he took a big mouse trap. Nobody wanted that thing. They said he went cheap on us this year. He spent $3 on a big mouse trap. Well, what he had done is he had bored a hole in the wood, rolled up a $20 bill, stuck it in there, and put putty over it so you couldn't see it. So whoever got stuck with a mouse trap, he went to them at the end and said, "Hey, there's $20 in that thing." They just didn't realize what they had because they didn't look. They didn't open the bucket. They didn't start shoveling, right? Sometimes you get a gift and you don't even know what you got. Some of you's got salvation and you ain't even broke the crust out of it, but you ain't even took the top off of the cake yet. You got the cake in your hand, but you ain't even eat it yet. You just sitting there looking at, "Oh, this is good." You need to taste the gift of salvation. You need to get down to business with God and quit looking at all these other things and get your shovel in your hand and start digging. But if that's you, you might just be a surviving Christian or a pouting Christian or a complaining Christian. I didn't say that last sermon. Did anybody get that? Christians shouldn't be that way, right? We should have the joy of Christ in our heart. There's no better life in here than to receive Christ. Because Jesus bought and paid you for a price. Y'all know, I don't know about y'all, but this is what I tell my girls, and I said this last sermon too. We may not be rich with money, but we're rich in love. Amen? Amen? Every person in here could say amen to that, and you should say amen. Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. Look to the person to the left. Look to your left. Say, "Would you die for me?" Oh, I guess I'm... no. Look to the right. Say, "I'd die for you." Say it loud. Some of y'all just told lies. Some of y'all just told lies in God's house. And y'all just listened to me do it. Is it true? Y'all laughing? It's true. Jesus Christ loves you enough. He showed you how much He loved you to die on the cross. So we're rich in love, okay? If Jesus Christ is the only person you got in this world, you're rich in love. But yet God still blesses us with family, friends, a church family that we love. And maybe you wouldn't die for them, but you'd cook for them, amen? You'd clean for them. You'd wipe a few toilets for them. You'd get up early on a Sunday morning. Some of y'all just said, "Wipe a few toilets." Wait a minute, time out. I'm out. But you'd be there for them, right? So we're rich in love. We've got love, and we've got to hold on to that. But I don't know about y'all, but when I was younger, I'd get tired of Christians saying, "Bless God. I lost my job, but bless God, He's doing good. God is good." Or, "Lose a loved one, I'm just thankful for the Lord." I used to get tired of hearing that. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all ain't looking at a perfect person. If you believe that, say amen. That's the way I can get y'all to say amen. But I'd get tired of hearing that until I received salvation. Listen now. But it wasn't right after I received salvation. I received salvation and I started working out my own salvation. I started letting the water of the Word filter out things. Started filling my bucket full of blessings of gold that God sent straight to me. And then I become one of those people that I was getting tired of. My life would go bad. I'd lose a loved one. Well, bless God. God is still good. And I realized that clicked in my mind, like, now I'm one of those. You know why? Because I got what they was talking about. The Holy Spirit living inside of me, filling me up with that joy. And sometimes I still catch myself murmuring a little bit, but I got to hold on, you know? But some of us need to get our buckets and start filling up with joy, because nobody else can do that, right? Right? Did y'all miss that scripture where it says, "Work out your own salvation"? It's my bucket. Jesus purchased it for me and gave it to me. You can't put blessings in my bucket. You can't put your gold in my bucket. It won't fit. I can't put my gold in your bucket. Parents, you can't bless your kids enough to give them that true joy of Jesus Christ. They've got to do it. Are you hearing me? We can't fill each other. Now listen to me. You can help. You might say, hey, dig right here. Hey, let me get a shovel full of this dirt out of the way for you. This trash out of the way for you. Now dig in that. But you can't fill my bucket up. I've got to, because you got to work out your own. And I don't want y'all going through my dirt no way. Amen? You want me going through your dirt? You let the preacher show up at the house and watch what dirt gets hid. Y'all think it's funny? It's true. Y'all know it's true. I don't care if it's just dirty socks. Hide the dirty socks. Put them in the... The laundry's out. Mama, that's in the refrigerator. I don't care. He ain't going to look here. Huh? We got to work our own salvation out. But we got to come with a humble approach. And how do you work out your own? Well, I'm on good time here, so y'all, we good. It says, fear and trembling. See, I think what's wrong with this world today is we lost the fear of God. If you believe that, say amen. See, God is he's an almighty God. He's a jealous God. But he's a merciful God, a loving God, a graceful God. But we lost the fear of God. We lost the fear that... We lost the fear of God that our mamas and daddies put in a lot of us with a belt, a 2x4, a piece of wire, a switch. We need that fear of God back in us, right? Because if you did something in and you felt that belt or that 2x4 on your bottom, you didn't do it again because you feared it. Sometimes God has to get the switch out on us. And we don't like it. But I never questioned my mom or daddy's love, did you? You should never question God's love. But that fear and trembling, I guarantee you, when daddy come, he whooped me one time with a piece of 12-2. When he whooped me with that, I guarantee you I was trembling. So we got to come to work out our own salvation. We got to come with fear and trembling. We got to take God seriously, but also we got to have some help from heaven. Listen, look at verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you. God's doing the work. We got to have some heavenly help. I got to have heavenly help right here to even stand before you today. I needed heavenly help this morning because I didn't have the first half of my sermon. We need help. Sometimes we get so tired and so stressed out. But listen, that this worketh is a different meaning. And it is a merizeal. It's the power and the might to get something done. And God will supply with you the energy and the might. Some of you might say, well, I'm tired. Some of you older people might say, or younger, whatever. I'm tired of working for the church. I'm tired of reading my Bible. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of doing this. But if you're doing it in Christ and you really get your bucket out and get your shovel out, He will give you the energy to keep going. And if you stop, y'all know there's... If you run in a race and you quit halfway through it, you miss out on the biggest blessing, right? Of finishing. I want us to finish strong. You got to have some heavenly help. And I didn't even know what harmony was until Christy said, we harmonize real well. And I said, what's that? She said, we just sound good. I said, amen. And I'm fixing up. If y'all can, get that ready for in just a minute. Harmonizing will. We got to have it. So look at verse number 14. They're going to put it on the screen, and I want y'all to read it all together, okay? Ready? On three. Read verse number 14 thing that says do. 14 that says do. On three. 1, 2, 3. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Was that? Did we do that in harmony? No. It wasn't in harmony, right? Say the first three words in there together. Ready? Go. Do how many things? How many? So that means do everything. Do all things without murmurings or disputings. How many of y'all murmured this morning? How many of you murmured last week? Be honest with me. Raise your hand. How many of you murmured last week? Raise your hand again, please. The rest of y'all are lying. I see it. The rest of y'all, I done forgot what commandment is. Thou shalt not lie. Some of you might not dispute it. You might not argue with anybody. But I guarantee you, you complained about something. Some of you complain about how hot it is in here. Some of you complain about how cold it is in here. Some of you complain about where you're sitting. Some of you complain about, well, I don't want to come to the 8:30 service, but I can't make it to the 10:30 service. Complain about this, complain about that. And I'm just talking about church. I ain't even talking about when you get out to your workplace and you pull up and you get out Monday morning because you didn't want to get up. But the Bible says do all things without, right? Do all things without murmuring. And without dispute. We got to be in harmony. And you think it might should be easy, but sometimes there's rock in that ground and you got to get it, just like we was talking about. How many of you would say, just like I said a while ago, that sometimes when people murmur, complain, be negative or whatever, it affects your walk? I don't know about y'all. I could be in a good mood and get to work, and somebody walk by me and complain, and that puts something in my mind. Bad day. Here I go complaining. Oh my goodness, it's hot out here. But I don't like it when it's cold. Oh my goodness, the wind's blowing. But I don't like it when it's still. Oh my goodness, we got to go do this. But I don't like it when we ain't got nothing to do, right? You complaining about stuff you even want to do. That's what I find myself doing. Am I the only one? But the Bible says, do all things without this. Well, we got to get there. We got to do that. We spend too much time complaining, just like that boy with the shovel. Once he started looking up, talking to me, he lost track of what he's doing and he cut the phone line. I said in the early service, I did it with some post hole diggers in a gas line. I'm talking about clear the whole job. The whole job shut down. Don't you know a lot of Christians are like that? Some new Christians, the baby Christians who just received Christ, you can just start murmuring a little bit around them and shut their whole spiritual walk down for weeks. Some of you need to get your bucket. Listen, they got to be some holy actions. See, blameless is a mentos in the Hebrew. It's without reproach. And rebuke is, I said I couldn't even read my writing on that. It's sincere and without blemish. So it says that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. So you need to be blameless and without rebuke. I wonder how many of us know that when you digging, you got to be holy. When you're working for Christ, you got to be holy. You know why? Because you are a living testimony that somebody's watching right now. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. You are a living, breathing testimony that the world is watching. Somebody's watching you, how you work at your job. Somebody's watching you while you drive down the road. They know you. They know your truck, unless you get a new one. They know your car. Well, so-and-so run me off the road the other day on the phone. So-and-so was cussing me out at the red light the other day. Huh? They're watching you. They know so-and-so tells so-and-so, and then they murmur about so-and-so, and then everybody knows. How's your testimony? We got to be holy while we're digging. Why are you digging in this? And you trying to be joyful. And the world is watching. And you've got to do this, be spoken and do the spoken truth. You know this word right here? It will clean your life up. If you believe that, say amen. That's weak. If this thing will clean your life up, shout amen.
Amen.
We've got to put it, we've got to use it. You got to put it to the test. Don't nobody want no dirt? Any of y'all like grit in your bed? I mean, I'll get up and throw the whole mattress out. Turn it upside down, fluff it a good time. And then she's hollering at me while she landed on the floor. Seriously, you don't want to lay down with no grit, right? Don't lay down with no dirt in your life. Clean it with the Word. I wonder how many of you read your Bible every day this week. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. I mean, I want to know, but I don't want to know. Because you think about it, we'd probably be devastated. The number of church people who read their Bibles every day. Y'all know this is the way, the truth, and the life, right? This is what we should be guiding our life with every day. This should be how we raise our kids, how we go to work, how we have our friends, how we have recreation, how we praise, how we worship, how we preach. And I could go on and on and on, but yet we don't even open the manual. I wonder how... We got a Bluetooth speaker yesterday. Cheap. But I need to get it connected to my phone so I could work it. I had to have a manual. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you ain't connected to God. Let me give you the manual. And you say, that's too thick to read. You ain't got to read but a couple scriptures. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will speak through them and start working in your life. You ain't even got to read the whole manual. But once you get in it, you will want to. You say, well, I don't understand the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You believe that? Do you understand that? Keep reading that. Then the next verse, then the next verse, and before long you'll understand the whole chapter. Before long you'll understand the whole New Testament. Then you can go on to read the history. But some of us don't even open this book. And this should be our guide. Because it's the spoken truth. You hold it close to your heart. And it lasts forever. The Word of God endureth forever, the Bible says. And I use this. This is going to tell some of you's age, but I want you to raise your hand on this. How many of y'all remember MySpace? Several. Is it still going today? I got the same... I don't know. What about Facebook? How do y'all know Facebook? Right? Raise your hand. If you know what Facebook is, raise your hand. I ain't say if you use it, if you know it. Some of us spend a lot of time on Facebook and get our joy and our blessings from Facebook instead of putting our face in His book. Are you hearing me? So listen to me. MySpace went away. It was the Facebook of His time. Guess what's going to happen to Facebook? It's going to go away. There's going to be something new come up. But you know what's going to stand the test of time? His book. And we better get in His book because, listen, we ain't got much time left, I'm thinking. We got a safety manual at work and for our IT, for our transmission system, it's a red book. And they always tell us when you go to transmission school, it's written in red because it's written in blood, because most of them rules and regulations on that, somebody has died doing, so they wrote a rule about it so somebody else wouldn't die. Let me tell you another book that's written in blood. Written by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You should live by it. Amen? Paul said, listen, look right here. He's got a happy effect that happened to him in verse 17. It says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and sacrifice for your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Listen to me. Right there, Paul said, I'm a mentor and I'm rewarded because of your faith. If I have to be martyred, if I have to be killed, if my life has to be a sacrifice so you could have faith, Paul's got joy because of it. So So here's what he's saying. He's going to fill his, he's going to continue filling his bucket full of gold. And if he looks over there and he sees your bucket slapped full of gold, he's going to be happy for you. He ain't going to be envious of it. He's going to be happy for you. I want to ask you, how many of y'all have put a lid on your bucket and it's sealed up and you're trying to put stuff in there, but you won't let stuff in because you've had some hard times in your life. You've had, because people's lied to you, because people has done this and it has put a wedge between you and God. Sometimes we need to tear the lid off so we can put the right stuff in. And you know, you'll find out once you become a Christian, it ain't about a lot of rules and regulations to follow God. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to change the way you do things. It's going to change the way you view a lot of different things. But that's God going to change it. I feel the Holy Spirit moving in a way. I want to ask you, have you got a bucket today? Have you got a bucket of salvation so you can work out your own? And have you been trying to fill somebody else's bucket with joy rather than working out your own salvation? Because I promise you, in a marriage, the closer you get to God and the more you work out your own salvation, the more the person closest to you is going to realize it. And they'll be happy for you, joyful for you. But so many times, we miss out because we're either trying to fill our kid's bucket, somebody else's bucket. I ain't talking about being selfish. I'm talking about working out your own salvation. Because a lot of times, the old dirt of the world will sneak in. And y'all know that affects the purity of gold, right? Maybe you need to let it run underwater a little bit more. Maybe you hadn't even been filling your bucket. You just been standing there with a shovel in your hand, like a bunch of Jackson EMC workers. That look about right? I wonder how many Christians today are standing just like this and never get the true blessing of their salvation. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody looking around, please. If you say, "Preacher, I got a bucket. I'm saved and got Bible reasons to prove it," slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. All right, with your hands raised, I want you to keep your hands up for a minute. Some of you are halfway raising your hands. Are you halfway saved? If you know for without a shadow of a doubt where you'll spend eternity, raise your hand up. Amen. 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 Hands down. How many of you would say, "Preacher, I've been letting them murmurings and those, them fussing getting in the way of my joy. I ain't been filling the bucket like I should. Or I ain't been working for out my own salvation like I should. I've been missing out on that joy that you're talking about. I just want to pray with you." Just slip your hand up. Hands all through the house. All through the house. Now I want to ask you this. How many of you say, "Well, I don't know where I'll go where I die. If I was to die right now, I would hope I would go to heaven." Don't leave here not knowing. If you say, "I don't want to go to hell, but I don't know if I'm going to heaven," just slip your hand up, just for me to see. Nobody else looking around. Ain't nobody else going to know.